Let's begin with Pasuk Yud-Beis. Clearly we did this, I just want to go back maybe to Psukim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud-Beis. So we are discussing Rechavam. The Malchus is about to be divided between Rechavam and Yeravam. After the death of Shlomo, Klal Yisrael approaches Yeravam and makes a request that he should lighten the load to reduce the taxes. Rechavam tells the people, come back, let me think about it, come back in 3 days. We discussed last week he had nothing to think about. It was clear in his mind that he would not reduce the taxes. In fact, he was planning on raising the taxes. The only question was how he should respond. What word should he use to respond to the people? He consulted with the Zakenim, and he consulted with the Aladin. And the Zakenim told him that he should listen to the people, he should reduce the taxes. And the Aladin says you should speak to them with chutzpah, with gaiva, and tell them that my pinky is thicker than my father's loins. So Pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayevo Yeravam b'chol ha'am el v'chavam, Yeravam b'chol ha'am el v'chavam v'yem ha'shlishi, ha'shadim ha'melech le'mar, Yeravam b'nevot, and all the people that returned to Rechavam on the third day, as they were told they should come back on 3 days, ha'shadim ha'melech le'mar, shuv elav v'yem ha'shlishi, as the king told them, come back to return to me in 3 days, I'll tell you my answer. Vayaneim ha'melech kosho, and the king responded with harshness. Vayazoiv, and he abandoned Hamelech Rechavam Eis Atzas Nazakenim. But instead, Pastor Gidal Vaydabar Leim Katzas Hayelodim, like the advice of the Yelodim, Leimar Achbid Esulchem, I will make heavy your yoke. Vani Oisif Olav, not only will I weigh you down, will I cause it to be heavy, I will increase Allah, Allah, Avi, my father, Yisar Eschem Bashaitim. This was the expression that the Yeladim gave him. My father chastised you with Bashaitim, with rods, with pieces of wood. He hit you, Tzimbalik Vani, Bo'ak Rabim, I will chastise you with. So what does this mean? So we have different interpretations. According to Rabbi Mitzudas, it means thorns. Thorns or means actual scorpions. As soon as the Yushalmi explains that a scorpion has the nature, it does not die, does not like a snake. Some snakes, after it stings, or you know, bees, a bee, once it stings, that's it, it dies. It only has one shot. It appears there are certain types of snakes also have this property, that they're limited. They're limited once they're only born with a certain amount of poison. I don't know the details, you have to Google this to learn the nature of different types of snakes. They have a limited amount of poison. They don't regenerate poison. So once they emit, they give away their poison, they no longer have the power to harm others. Not so when it comes to a scorpion. A scorpion has the koyach, it regenerates poison. So it's when we use a scorpion, it means multiple times, I will cause you pain, and I will return to cause you pain once again. So what he was saying here is very symbolic. My father, he took a stick and he hit you. I'm not coming with sticks. I'm coming with poison. And my poison is not just once. It's multiple dosages of poison. I'm going to make you suffer. You're going to listen to me. You're going to obey my command. The king did not listen to the people. This was a cause. This was a hashkacha from Hashem. Nisiba. Here is an unusual word. Look at the mitzudos tzia. Nisiba meloshon siba. Siba means a cause. Reason who ingin hakofas hadavar v'hagorim lo. Hashem brings about circumstances. Brings it about. Hashem causes things to happen to achieve his goal. Nisiba me'im hu'alokim l'man ho'kim Hashem es-devro, in order for Hashem to fulfill his word, asher dibir b'yad achiyo ha-shiloni, to fulfill his promise through the prophet, achiyohu ha-shiloni. Notice here it's spelled achiyohu. It's not a usual way to refer to him, it's called achiyo. Here is achiyohu ha-shiloni, el yirom ben-avot. Hashem spoke to Yahya ha-shiloni, told him that because Shlomo has sinned in that he has taken too many wives. He has followed the advice of the wife, his wife Basparo. He has built for her a temple for her Avodah Zarah, and he has violated the rules of the limitations of a king. Therefore, the Malchus will be taken from him. And this was the prophecy of Achia Hashloni revealed to Yeravam ben Nevat, and Achia revealed to Yeravam ben Nevat that he would succeed Shlomo in being king, at least over the majority of Klal Yisrael, 10 of the 12 Shvatim. The Chol Yisrael, we'll discuss a few things in a few moments. Chol Yisrael, Ki Lashama HaMelech Lohem, And with regard to the reign of Klal Yisrael, when they heard, when they realized that Rechavim's ears were deaf to their requests, Vayashivu Ha'am Es HaMelech Leimar, here they responded, they returned, they responded to the king with very sharp words. They did not just pick themselves up and abandon the king, they let him know, they let him have it. And they said, yes, in very frightening words, Vayashivu Ha'am Es HaMelech Leimar, Malonu Chelek B'David V'loi Nachla B'Ven Yishai. What is there to us? Why do we want to have a portion? If this is the type of king that we're going to have, that's silent to our request, does not want to relate to us, listen to us, sympathize with us, why would we want to have such a king? Ma'alanu chelek b'David, we have no desire to have a portion in David HaMelech, v'le'nachlo b'ven Yishai, not an inheritance, as similarly is a poetic expression, an inheritance in the son of Yishai, David's father, ish le'oyhalecha, everyone go back to your tents. The Israel, ata now, re'ei beischa David, look what you have for yourself, David. Look what's left for you. Nothing. Look, this is an expression. Re'ei beischa David. Rhetorical question. Look, David, what's left. Nothing. Nothing is left for you. Maybe you're Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin. Vayelech kol Yisrael le'oy halav. Everyone went back to their tents. Okay, there's a lot to discuss. Let's first look at the Mitzudas and Rashi, starting with Pasuk Yudbeis. Yes.
Could be that he's invoking his Shlomo's father David, give Shlomo a guilt feeling. You see, you're not like your father. You believed in your father. Your father was great, and you're not anywhere. In other words,
exactly right. That's what they said. This is the grandson, not Shlomo. This is a Rechavam, is the grandson of David. Correct. That's right. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis. There is no Mitzudos Pasuk Yud Dalit. Achbid, ani achbid ha'ol ha'od, ani oisef Allah b'chol pam, I will weigh down the yoke, and I will add upon it, b'chol pam, every instance. V'diber b'gaiva u'v'goyda levav. He spoke to them with arrogance, and a goyda levav, a great heart, which is not a complimentary expression. Es el ha'am asher shalu l'hakil ha'ol, when the people realized that they did not, that the request was not, there was no response to their request, they decided, what do we need this for? Ki haisa nisiba lo l'gadil sikhluso v'lashama el ha'am. It's not because of his great wisdom that he did not listen to the people. Ki me'ashem haisa. Hashem put a machshav in his mind to talk like this. This was the worst thing he can possibly say. We discussed this last week. There were many mistakes that were made, even if he wanted to tax, to continue to maintain the tax, or even to increase the taxes, if he would have done it the right way, Rechavam would have succeeded, and the people would have remained loyal to the Malchus of David. It's just that the first mistake we learned was that he waited 3 days. That was a very big mistake. That's also, that we'll just mention this right now. If we go back to the Zikanim, back to what we learned last week, I saw this when I was preparing for today. If we look back at the Zikanim, they use the word Hayom. Let me just go back, find the Pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Vayivatz HaMelech, go back to Pasuk Vav. So he took counsel with the Zikanim. Pasuk Zayin. Vayidabru Elov Leimar. Im Tihye Litoiv Lehoom Hazeh. Uritzisam Vidibaratalem Devarim Tavim Vahayu Luchalavodim Kol Hayamim. Okay, so it's not here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. It's in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim, it's a little bit different, and there it says Hayom. There's an expression that you should go back and speak to them today, because if you're going to wait 3 days, then there's no chance. After 3 days, people are going to they're going to get frustrated, and they're going to already decide they don't want to have anything to do with your Malchus, with David, with Shlomo, and with you. That was the first tragic mistake. The next tragic mistake was, if you want to keep the taxes, speak softly, speak with humility. Instead, he decided to speak with gaiva. So this was a fatal mistake. It's not because it was the right thing to do. If he would have thought about it, he probably would have not have done this. Except, Lev Melochim Biyad Hashem. Hashem is in control of the hearts and minds of kings. Hashem implanted a thought in the mind of Rechavam. He should speak with chutzpah in order to anger the people so that they would rebel and the Malchus would be divided. Why? Not because Rechavam himself personally deserved that his Malchus be removed. It's because this was a payoff to the Chatohim of Shlomo. And more so, if we can go back, we'll discuss this soon, it was more than that, it was a punishment to David. David was Mekabel Lashon Hara about his servant Siva, Mephibosheth. Concerning Mephibosheth, there's a story in Sefer Shmuel, he was Mekabel Lashon Hara, and he gave a command that the assets of Mephibosheth should be divided. He was not certain Mephibosheth rebelled. He had a servant who was a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, and he took him in his home after Shaul died. He was the last remaining descendant of Shaul, and David decided to support him, to take care of him. He was a cripple. And then when David ran away from his palace because of the rebellion of Avshalom, there was a question if Mephibosheth was loyal to David during this difficult period of time. David was not certain about Mephibosheth's loyalty to him in this difficult matzav. When he came back, he said, there are signs, simonim, going both ways. On the one hand, it appears you are loyal, but on the other hand, it appears you're not loyal. He did not know what to do. He was conflicted, and he said, if that's the case, I'm going to divide your assets will be divided among you and among my servant Tziva. Okay, that's not to go through all the details of that story now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very critical of David for doing that, of suspecting being Mekabel Lashon Hara and suspecting that Mephibosheth was not loyal to David. And Chazal, there's a Chazal that at that moment in time, Hashem said to David, David, you're taking away the assets of Mephibosheth. You're dividing it between him and his servant Siva. You know what? The day will come when your Malchus will be divided. The Malchus, Baskel, came out and said that the Malchus, your Malchus, will be divided between Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevat. So, according to this Maamar Chazal, the division of the Malchus was a punishment to David, not just a punishment to Shlomo. So we have here many things coming together. And the fact is, okay, so we have many things coming together. We have David's punishment to David, punishment to Shlomo, and to some degree we have to say that it was a punishment to Rechavam. Rechavam here, we look at the Psukim, on the one hand the Pasuk says it was a Nesiba, it was a Siba, Me'es Hashem, Hashem pulled the strings that this should happen, but a person to some degree has Bechira Chavshis. And Rechavam made some very tragic mistakes. He spoke with Gaiva. He did not have the proper Derech Eretz for Klal Yisrael. You're dealing here with Klal Yisrael, a holy nation. You have to speak to them with Hachna, humility. You don't do this. So to some degree, what it resulted was nothing more than the Chatoim of Rechavam himself. So look what's happening here. Three different generations are contributing, the sins of three generations are contributing to the event that is occurring here, the division of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael between Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevat. It's not just a simple thing, a chait leads to a punishment. And this is a very powerful Musar Haskel in our own lives. When things happen, you can never say the reason why it happened is because I did this specific Avera, and for that Avera, that's why this thing happened. There's no such thing. There's a long history of events that culminate to things that happen in this world that span generations. Spans generations. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, the way Hashem controls the world. And I mean, it's a really powerful limud over here. Three generations of sin contributed to the Malchus being divided at this point in time. Let's finish up the Mitzudos, and there's a lot of other things to discuss. El Yeravam, Sheimlochu Kamashom ben Melachim Aleph, he would rule. The gift of Malchus was given to Yeravam because he was the one that Yeravam was rewarded. He became Melech because he was the one that stood up to Shlomo. Shlomo committed a terrible sin by taking away the public property, the Milo. There was a plaza where everyone congregated Adam Oadin, and appears there was a very great kiddush Shem Shmain that came at this at these gatherings when people would come to this plaza in front of the Beis Hamikdash, and Shlomo took it away. He closed it off and he built in that location a palace for his queen, for Bas Paro. And the one that took and the one that went forward to protest was Yeravam ben Nevat.
Where was this?
What?
Where was this?
In front of the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know exactly. I don't know. Probably in these nice coffee table books, they show the Beis Hamikdash. They probably mentioned it somewhere where it possibly was. I vaguely remember once seeing such a thing, sort of diagram showing where the Milo might have been. I don't know. But this is going back to Bais Risha. I mean, we're really going back ancient, not like the, you know, most of these nice coffee table tables are Bais Sheni. It's hard to find real, you know, records of Bais Rishon, if there are even such things. Okay, the Kamash Amar B'Melach Amal. V'chol Yisrael, Ratzloima, V'chol Yisrael, Kasha Loishama, HaMelech Lohem, Oz, Yeshivu, HaMel HaMelech, Malonu, Ratzloima, Mahu HaChelik, Hanit, Elonu, Be'avur, David, Lichesheniya, Avodim, Lozah. What do we get out of this? What do we get out of being servants to David's Zera, David's grandson, when we're treated like this? We have no Nachla, the son of Yishai. So everyone go home. We are not going to anoint this person. We're not going to coronate him as king, this person, Rechavim. Ata nara, tzlema, ata nara, Rechavim, chabo mi David, me ata re'ei, behanhogas beizcha, kasher ha'om, ke'ach ke'achat ha'om, ve'ein luchon you, what they're saying is, you just be an ordinary citizen. You're finished. Rechavim, you want malchus. You're finished. You're not, you're just a regular person. Ve'ein lucha esek b'molucha. Okay, let's see Rashi, then we'll discuss a whole number of things. Pasik tes vav ki haisa nisiba. This entire event was a nisiba. Leman hakim Hashem es tevaro ki moshe l'furish. Like it says, Mocham Aleph lohasim menu yud shvatim. Litin liravam. Hashem decided to remove from Rechavim 10 shvatim and to give, leave over only 2-4 Rechavim. Zesh v'lo yasa shev mihuda v'lo yered mimalchuso ad ki yavo Shiloh Pisron. It says in the pasuk that on the one hand we have a promise Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda. So the Malchus Moshe Min Yehuda. So how then can it be that here Hashem is taking with the Malchus from the David and giving it to a Shevet Ephraim? So Pisron, the interpretation Ad Ki Yavo Shil Ad Ki Yavo Yehuda Shiloh La Hamlech Sham Rechavam. So that's how he interprets this pasuk. Where is Shiloh? Shiloh is in Shechem. Okay, that's, I have to know that. That's a little bit confusing. So, according to the terminology of Chazal, Shiloh and Shechem is the same. It's one and the same. Okay, it's the same vicinity. It's the same city. Whatever you want to learn it. So, we're taking this pasuk. It's a very novel interpretation of the pasuk. Lo yosu shevet mi Yehudu mi choygik mi bein raglov ad ki yavo Shiloh. So, simply we learn, it means until Mashiach comes, that a Shevet Yehuda, a leader from Yehuda, will not depart. There will always be someone who is a descendant of Shevet Yehuda that will serve in leadership position, in the leadership position ad ki yavo Shiloh, until Mashiach will come. Shiloh is one of the names of Mashiach. That is one of the more simpler interpretations of that pasuk. Rashi is telling us that that can't be the pshat. Because look what happened in this pasuk. In this pasuk it says that there is not the majority of Klal Yisrael that's being led by a person who is not from Shevet Yehuda, but from Shevet Ephraim.
But
there's still a remnant.
But rightfully, yeah, the monarchy still belongs.
Okay, so that's there are many interpretations. That's absolutely okay. But Rashi is just going with one. Rashi is in a very narrow approach. Let's just focus on this one. I am panim l'tara, but let's focus on this one very simple approach. If the majority of Klal Yisrael is being led by a person who's not from Yehuda, so the pasuk is not correct. It has deviated, it has departed from Yehuda. So in Hanani, so when it says Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh, means until Klal Yisrael will come to Shechem in the time of Rechavam, as we learned that Klal Yisrael demanded that the installation of the coronation of Rehavam take place in Shil, in Shechem, not in Yerushalayim, because Klal Yisrael wanted to make his Malchus conditional upon him lowering the taxes, and having the ceremony in Yerushalayim would not be a good into their advantage, because he would not feel the pressure. He would be at home territory advantage. He would feel secure, safe and secure, and would ignore his people. Therefore, why don't you come to a stadium where the audience, the fans, are cheering for the other team, and that way maybe you'll be humbled and you'll be sensitive to our needs. So ad kiyava shil ad kiyava Yehuda shilol hamlech sham rechavam the sham, and there lo yikas amim, and there will be yikas means the assembly kihila kiyikas amim lehamlichoy, to they'll gather lehamlicho, that's where they will attempt to anoint him as king, but there will be a fallout. V'sham nischalka ha-malchus v'yoved malchus shel aseres ha-shvatim period u'shchem ir ketana smucha l'shilo k'dersim v'sim v'pasta k'nei chag l'ashem v'shilo miyamim yamima b'mesila ho'ila mi-beisel shechema. It says there by Shoftim that there was a chag l'ashem v'shilo, all the girls would go out, that's the nice, the plegish v'giva, when the boys went to find girls. So the ceremony took place in Shiloh. Where is Shiloh? The pasuk there very clearly describes it was on a road. It was on a small road. Ho'ila mi Beisel Shechema, on the way to Shechem. Uchsib Yirmiya Mishchem u'mishiloh. Ulchvoid Mishkan Shiloh Nesafim L'Shchem, and for the honor of Mishkan Shiloh gathered in Shchem, Shuroi Liasifas B'nei Adam. It was Shiloh was seemingly a very small city. It was a very small place. The Mishkan was there for 369 years, but it was not a place that could accommodate large numbers of people. The hotels, they did not build up Shiloh for whatever reason. I don't know why, whatever reason, it was never built up. If you wanted to go to a hotel to stay over, to come visit Shiloh, you had to go to the nearby city, and the nearby city was Shechem. And then, that's what the Pasuk means. So you have now a novel of this week's Parsha. It's Mamash, Inyan of the Yom. This week's Parsha, Lo Yos Hashem Yehuda Mechogim Meragov, Ad Ki Yav Shiloh V'lo Yikasamim, until they will come. This Malchus of David will only lasted for a very short time. It lasted for 40 years of David, not even 40 years, 33 years. It lasted then for another 40 years of Shlomo. So we're dealing with 73 years, and that's it. 73 years. And then after Shlomo dies, we have Rehavam. He was 41 years old at the time. He wanted to be king. His kingdom was conditional. He failed to fulfill the conditions that people wanted, and right away it was divided. Below there, Yikhas Amim, the people will come together to anoint him, but it will not succeed, and that's where everything was divided. Oz Yosef Shav Veshev Yehuda Shasham Malchus Nischalka. Okay, so when they heard that he said no to their request, he was insensitive to their request. Everyone said, Le'oy Halecha Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, let's get out of here. Everyone go back home. Go home, we'll find a new king. Musaf al ma lanu chilek b'David ma la'azoyv el ma la'azoyv el ohaleinu. Why should we abandon our tents? Why should we be loyal to this country and leave our tents and come to pledge our allegiance to this king? La'azoyv ohaleinu v'leilech achrav. Everyone go back home. And they said in the torment, they tormented Rehavam, insulted him. Look what you have left for yourself. Everyone has left you. You're just now an ordinary person. Musav al v'leinachala b'ven Yishai kolamar ein lanu bo nachala ela b'beis hamigdash shebi Yishalayim shano zoifchim boi v'lirous bo b'sholosh rogolim. All we have now is the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a king. Okay, it's a very interesting Rashi. What Rashi is saying, and I'm not really clear, there's a klemar. Kloimar, ein lanu bo nachala. We don't have any nachala in the king.
It's like saying, we don't have any stake anymore in that
in the kingdom.
In that area, that whole area. The only reason
we didn't do anything with the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
They still retained, according to this interpretation, Ela, the Beis HaMikdash, Shebi Yerushalayim. So at this point in time, according to Rashi, we still, that's a very important thing because I think what Rashi is coming to allude to is when Yerovam ben Nevat came to power, what did he do? He forbade anyone from being Aliyah to Yerushalayim. He put soldiers on the road preventing people from traveling to Yerushalayim. If you want to come to a Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to build you a replica. He built a double replica in a Beisel. In Shul Shomer, well, that Shomer was the capital. That was a much later time. Shomer became the capital later point in time. Not right away. I don't think in his lifetime. We'll see this later on. Later on, it became the capital. But he built a replica of the Beis HaMikdash in Beisel and in Dun. Two locations. Make it easy. Why should the whole country travel from end to end? I'll make two replicas of the Beis HaMikdash, and wherever you're closer to, that's where you will go. So that happened at a later point in time. At this point in time, Klal Yisrael didn't realize it's like a slippery slope. If you would have told Klal Yisrael at this point in time that the consequence of abandoning of Rechavam and having a new king, Yerovam ben Nevat, is that you're going to abandon the Beis HaMikdash, they would never do this. They would never be willing to go so far and abandon the Beis HaMikdash. That's the derech of the Yetzirah. He starts out by telling you to do a little Avera. If he comes to you and tells you to do a big Avera, you would brush him away. You would never consider. But once you do a little Avera, then another little Avera, it's a little bit bigger. Before you turn around, you're doing things you never in your wildest imagination imagined you would be doing. So that's exactly what's happening over here. At this point in time, they never would imagine they would abandon the Beis HaMikdash, being Oil Regal Shalosh Pamashana. But that's eventually what did happen. It all happened in small steps, sliding down the slippery slope of first abandoning Rechavam and then abandoning the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so Ela Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Shana Zochem, Balavos, Bo, Bishosh, Golem, Re'eh, Beis HaDavid, Ein Anu Tshichem Lo, Leilach Sham, Sham Yelach HaLevadcha, Ela Re'eh, Beis HaDavid, Ki Efshenu, Ki Efshenu, we don't want loy becha, loy bebeis hamikdash lecha. We don't want you. Now, see, Rashi over here is saying, we don't want you, loy bebeis hamikdash shelecha. So this is a contradiction to the previous Rashi. The first Rashi makes it very clear, ela bebeis hamikdash shebi shalaim shanuzevchem bo, and here he says re'ei beis chadavid ein onu tzrichim lo leilech sham. Let the Beis HaMikdash be for you alone, David. You could have the whole bias. LRA Beis Cho David. The Beis HaMikdash, it's your personal house. EF Shenu, we do not want Loi Becha, the Loi Beis HaMikdash Shalcha. So this Rashi appears to contradict the previous Rashi. Atarei Beis Cho David, Musav, go back to previous Rashi, Musav Alv Lo Nachla Ben Yishai Kolomer Ein Lanu Bo Nachla Ela the Beis HaMikdash Shebi Shalayim Shanu Zevchem Bo V'Livos Bo B'Shalosh Shugolem.
What we have is just the Beis HaMikdash, and you could have it. That's all you have for us, and we don't need it. It's just saying.
It's a continuation?
Yeah.
Okay, alright, possibly. First, they mentioned all we have left is the Beis, and that you would have it. Rei Beis Cho. It's your bias.
Thank you.
Okay, and the Mitzudos doesn't say, the Mitzudos says, doesn't mention anything like this. Ata, looking to this again, Rotzlema, Ata, Rechav, Habami David, Mi'ata, Rei, Behanogas, Beis Cho. According to the Mitzudos, the word Beis Cho is going on his private home. You're just going to be an ordinary citizen with a simple home, just like ke'achat ha'am, like every other person. According to Rashi, the word Beis Cho refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the domain of the king. Ein yeshiva bo'azara ella l'malchei Beis David b'levat. And here the Klal Yisrael is telling him, Rei Beis Cho David, you want the Beis HaMikdash? Have it. Have it for yourself. Sit there all alone. You can sit there, you can take care of it. We're not coming to your Beis HaMikdash. So it appears there's Machlekes, Rashi, and the Mitzudos, if the word Beis Cho, Re'ei Beis Cho David, refers to the private home or refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there are a number of important Mamari Chazal. First of all, over here in our version, Ish Le'oiholecha Yisrael, is what it says in our text. And in fact, it says the same thing in Sefer Melachim. However, it appears there are different versions, different girsos. It's very strange. You don't say that about Sefer in the Miksuvim. It's a very dangerous thing to say that there are different nuschos, but it's certainly a minor chazal. And the reason why they use oy holecha is very similar le elohecha. Take out the hey, le elohecha. And what they were saying is, Klal Yisrael, let's go worship idols. We don't need this religion. It's a lot more than just saying, Rechavam, you don't want to listen to our requests. You don't want to, you know what? We don't need you. We don't need the Beis HaMikdash. And we don't need your God. We don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael, go home, back to your idols. Go back and worship idols. Ish le Elohecha. Each individual should go home and worship an idol.
Radical.
Very radical, but we don't understand. They had the Yetzer Hara. This is the whole Sefer Melachim. Here on, it's all downhill spiral of Avodah Zarah, non-stop. We have no understanding of what Avodah Zarah, what it was like, the Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah. But and the Chazal say the Klal Yisrael did the three Chatoim. They rejected the Malchus of David. They rejected the Beis HaMikdash, and they rejected the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Mashiach will only come when we do tshuva for all three. We have to embrace, we have to yearn for the coming of Malchus David, but of course the Malchus of Hashem, Malchus of the Adike, Malchus of Rekia, and of course the yearning for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. There were three terrible things that occurred here in this pasuk: rejection of David, the rejection of the Beis HaMikdash, and most importantly, the rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is indicated with the expression Ish le'oyholecha, Ish le'elohecha Yisrael, everyone go worship your God, we don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very important Maamar Chazal. Okay, there's another important Maamar Chazal, the Klal Yisrael, that the Chazal are extremely critical of Klal Yisrael for their behavior, although they had a very good complaint that Rechavim was insensitive to their needs, and that's something that's not to be tolerated when you have a leader that doesn't want to give you time, the time of day, and talks to you with chutzpah. That's not acceptable. Nevertheless, the Chazal are extremely critical of Klal Yisrael that their behavior was a terrible ingratitude towards David. In other words, see, we live in a society where it's very hard to appreciate this chazal. We live in a society where if you like a person, very good. I like him, he's my rabbi, he's my leader, he's my president. But his children? I couldn't care less about his children. Just because this person was good to me, does that require me to be good to his children? I have to go, and after this person dies, or after this person retires, I have an obligation. Yeah. The person I owe my life.
Yeah, but here, who started it?
I owe him my life. This is the way we think. This is the way every man. I mean, this is the way we live. We live in a world like this. I owe someone my life. Very good. I owe you my life. I'll give you my life. A life for a life. But your children? Now, when you retire or you die, I have to pass on my loyalty to your children? No way. My children are better than your children. And my grandchildren, they're certainly better than your children. So what is this all about? Okay, this is the way the world works. Go look around. In every area, that's how it works. Chazal don't like this. Chazal are extremely critical of this attitude. Chazal are very clear that what does a person want more than anything? What does a person care about more than anything else? There's nothing a person cares about more than his children. Nothing in this world has any meaning except for your children. You'll give up everything so your children should succeed. So if you like a person, you want to honor what they want. And what do they want? They want you to give their children a chance. This is how Chazal look. Therefore, if David HaMelech is responsible for Klal Yisrael having a Beis HaMikdash, having a land, David HaMelech, he risked his life to fight all the battles against the Pelishtim to conquer the land. Klal Yisrael owes it to David that his children should be in a position of leadership. Okay, we have over here Rechavam. He's not exactly a nice guy. He's a problem. Okay, nothing is forever. Rechavam will come and go. He'll come and go. In the meantime, just stick it out. Stick it out until everything changes very quickly. It's a lack of hakaras hatoiv to David and Shlomo to treat Rechavam in such a way to reject his malchus. Chazal are extremely critical in the kofui toiva that were to David and how they treated his. Everyone says this. Everyone says this. This is a, it could be this in the Gemara. Give me, maybe I wrote it down. Give me 1 second.
Are they Rishonim or Achrayim?
Rishonim. I think it's even a Gemara. It's even Tanoim. Tanoim even. Meroim for sure. Okay, I didn't bring the Sefer today with me because it was too heavy to carry. But Bli Neder, I'll get you the sources.
Isn't it true that Klal Yisrael has always had a problem with leaders that are children?
Right? Children, right. Okay, but this is... So
authority, let's say.
Okay, this is one very important point. Now, just to bring out what's remarkable is there are so many different dimensions of chait that are coming together here in this one event. So many dimensions. It's a payday for David's sins of accepting Lashon Hara and taking away half of the estate from Mithi Boishes. It's a punishment to Shlomo for not being loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a punishment for Rechavam, for his chutzpah. It's a punishment for Klal Yisrael are sinning in rejecting, being kofi toif to David and to Shlomo.
Was the Damash Avera Klal Yisrael?
Yeah, definitely.
He tells them, "I'm going to bring you Nisim. I'm going to make you work harder."
So
what's the day of one? They said, "No, we don't want to have to do with you."
It doesn't matter. So they'll work harder. They owe it to work a little harder in honor of David. What David did for them is
when they were building a Beis HaMikdash.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They owe it. They owe it. You see, you're part of society. I'm also part of society. Okay.
Yeah. His biggest mistake was before those 1 or 2 you mentioned. His biggest mistake was he knew that when there will be a meeting with the people, that the people will come with a complaint, and there was a legitimate complaint. The response was his option, so he should have prepared. Not to ask the Gitanim after they asked.
Right.
He should have prepared
in advance. 3 days.
Three days.
The 3-day delay.
He should have asked before then. He should have been prepared when they come.
The 3-day delay was a fatal mistake. The 3-day delay. Okay, a lot of the Rashi says nothing here makes sense. All of his advisors, he was obviously a very wise man. We can only even begin to imagine the Chochmah of Rechav, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Can we even begin to imagine this Chochmah? He certainly was an excuse. Why did he do these foolish things? Asiba me'eis Hashem. Hashem put these machshavas in his mind to foolish things because Hashem, this is what Hashem wanted the result. But it's a convergence of so many different elements of sin. It's a very tragic, and the ultimate thing is the Klal Yisrael machlekes. Klal Yisrael is divided, and when there's division, that's it. It's curtains. Nothing will ever get done when there's division. And until like that was the haftarah of this Per Shabbos, until the time will come, that's this haftarah of the 8th, B'yad Ephraim, which is the Malchus, on a very similar level, the Malchus of Yisrael, and the 8th, B'yad Yehuda, and the 2 pieces of wood will be joined together and will become one, and David will be Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael, and the Mikdash will be rebuilt. So L'Asin Lavo, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael will once again be restored to a single Malchus. But until that point in time, this is symbolic of Golas division. Machlekes and Klal Yisrael is what Golas is all about, and all started here with the convergence of multiple sins. From every different angle, everything came together. And there's another Chazal. Chazal say, they darsh in the pasuk in Shir in Koheles, Esa kol osa elokim yofe bi'ito. Hashem makes everything beautiful in its right time. Everything has a time. It's a kol osa yofe b'ito. And Chazal, what does that refer to? Specifically, from all the different things you can say about that expression, yofe b'ito, it is this event. The division of the Malchus. You know, I remember once hearing someone give advice about going with about Shidduchim. And he was saying that a boy and girl, they go out, and then after a certain number of times, let's say they're dating 10 times, whatever, it's the time to get engaged. And if they let that time pass, even though they ultimately get engaged, they get engaged after 20 dates, after 30 dates, it's not yofeh be'itai. There's a certain climax. You know the var of the satmirav. Katzdi b'chayay b'bnei b'nos ches. Now Rivka said to Yitzchak, I don't want him to marry one of the b'nos ches. I want him to go back to Eretz Canaan. Katzdi b'chayay. I hate these daughters of the nation of ches. So the satmirav, when he saw with the litvaks, they go on dates. They used to be a minute. I have no clue what goes on. After eight times they get engaged. Katzti b'chayai. I hate that boys and girls, taruvis, mingling, they date eight times. Ches. So they said acting, you are Masada Kedushin. I'm a Masada Gitin. And I can tell you, eight is not enough to make sure okay, but in any event, this is a kol osse yofe be'ito. You would expect Chazal to take something positive, right? Hashem made everything beautiful in its right time. And if you don't seize the beauty of the right time, it's not the same. There's a time. A time comes. Now's the right time. You're going to let the time pass. It's not going to be beautiful. Chazal, so you know what it refers to? It refers to the ugliest thing that ever happened in Klal Yisrael. The ugliest thing. What was the ugliest event? The division of the Malchus of David between Rechavim and Yeravam. This is Yofeh, beautiful Be'itoi. What do you mean, beautiful Be'itoi? Because really, HaKadosh, this should have happened by David. This should have been David's lifetime. When David sinned and took away the malchus, Shimi ben Gera cursed him. When Avshalom rebelled, there were many times in David's malchus when things were not so good. There was Shaul. There could have been a split from right then and there. There could have been a split between Shaul and David. The descendants of Shaul could have wanted Shevet Binyamin, could have taken the malchus. There could have been a split. There could have been a split with Avshalom. There could have been a split. Many different periods when David was on the run and things were not so rosy. And really, really it should have happened. Really, al-kiderech ha-teva and the hanhaga in this world, we know we live in a very violent and dangerous, delicate world. Really, the malchus should have split long ago, 70 years ago, in the lifetime of David. But you know what would have happened if Hashem allowed that to happen? There never would have been the Beis HaMikdash. It could never happen that Shlomo would galvanize the whole Klal Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash. And it was a miracle of miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the world events that the Malchus did not split in David's lifetime. It didn't split in Shlomo's lifetime. And Hashem allowed 73 years to pass until we get to Rechavam. And then Hashem allowed all of the Koichos of Tumah and Ra and Machlokes, let it go free. And then there was a split. So at least we chapped the Rhine a Beis HaMikdash. Ayin Beis. After Ayin Beis. Interesting. After Ayin Beis. So at least we are able to chap the Rhine a Beis HaMikdash. Yofeh be'itoi. Machloikis is also beautiful in the right time. There's a time for Machloikis. But at least before the Machloikis. It's a Medrash. At least before you get the Machloikis. At least, good, you have Machloikis. That's how it happens. There has to be Machloikis sometimes. There has to. Oh, Shem Shemam, you're Jewish. There has to be Machloikis. We live in a world. That's the way it is. Okay, we're only human. But a miracle of miracles, at least there's a tekufa where there was no machlekes, and things were accomplished? Wow. Thus is yofeh be'ita. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Now there's a chasam soifer. This touched upon something that we discussed last week. There's a very big problem with Rechavam. We discussed, what exactly was going through Rechavam's mind? Now, obviously, it's a lot deeper than just reading this psukim. He took advice with the Zekanim, with the Eladim. There's a lot going on. So the Chassam Sofer touched upon an idea that we mentioned last week. There's a very big problem with Rechavam, and that his mother is not from the best Yichus. His mother was Nama Ho'amoni. Lo Yavoy Amoni Umayavi B'Kahal Hashem. Just like David was problematic, so too was Rechavam problematic. And although he may be a member of Klal Yisrael, when it comes to a melech, soim tosim olecha melech mikerev achecha. The answer is Ben Melech, right? So that's the answer. The only time you have a din of soil is when you're putting a new king. When you're going to the family and you're selecting from the pool of candidates from the Shevet Yehuda, only needs to come from Shevet Yehuda, new king. Okay, so then you go and you pick a king that's Mikar Vachecha. But when already you're a descendant, then it's not a problem. So the issue.
She was from Ruth's sister-in-law.
Yes. No. I'm sorry. No, a different branch. I'm sorry. Nama, different branch. That was Goyas.
She was a Moines.
The sister-in-law produced the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, Goyas. Goyas Agiti.
It says that Orpah was spared in order to produce the Shtei Predos. The Medrash calls them Rus and Naam.
So Naam also came from, but it was a different nation.
From the second daughter.
Amon is a different nation. Amon is a different nation. Okay, whatever it is. So the Chassam Sofer says as follows. The Chassam Sofer says, Lom Shavar. This is not Pshut Shalmik. Lom Shavar, he says that the Yeladim said that they're telling you now that your Malchus is conditional. If your malchus is conditional based upon their request, it was really the Yeladim are saying it really would be in your best interest to lower taxes, and you should do it. You should lower the taxes, but not now, because if you are going to enter into the malchus based upon their conditions, that what really means is that you're not serving as a, you're not taking over the reins of leadership as a ben melech. Because there are two ways you can take over. You're now, Shlomo died. Now, who's going to be the new king? So there can be a natural successor, an heir to the throne. Is going to be, if that's the case, ben melech. The problem of your mother is not an issue because you're a ben melech. It's not in the same tossing. However, Klal Yisrael has a right. It's their prerogative to say, you know what, we don't want the Ben Melech. We don't want. We want to go out to a pool of candidates. There should be elections. There should be elections, and we should go and decide who will be the new king. And if we're going to decide who the new king is, then there's going to be a din of Soim Tosim Alecha Melech Mikerev Achecha from among your brethren, and the father and the mother must have the best yichus. Therefore, the Yeladim told Rechavim, if you're going to accept your Malchus under their conditions, even though you are the Ben Melech, you're not being anointed, you're not being coronated as Melech Midin Ben Melech. You're being appointed king midin soim tosim olecha melech, because it's based upon their conditions. All based on their conditions. Soim tosim. One day they're going to look back at the record. They're going to pull out all the books, and they're going to say he was illegitimate because his mother came from Nama.
They're going to ask for his birth certificate.
Exactly. They're going to ask for the birth certificate. Exactly. And they're going to say he is illegitimate. So, again, there are two ways you can become a king. Midin Ben, heir to the throne, or a new appointment. Just because you're a son doesn't mean that your appointment is Midin Ben. If there are conditions in your appointment, you're being appointed king Midin Son Tosim. And if you got Midin Son Tosim, you're illegitimate. So therefore, you better speak to them with a lot of chutzpah and tell them, make it very, very clear, to set the record straight, that you are a legitimate heir to the throne, you're a ben melech. This is not going to be elections and conditions and contracts. Forget about it. I'm the king. I'm the ben melech. You listen to me. I'll bite you with scorpions. I'll hurt you with, I'll do whatever I want. Then, once you accept my authority as king, of course, Obamacare, services, I will reduce all the taxes. Yeah. Finish. Everything is over. Everything will come to an end. It's a beautiful lumbus. It opens up, it totally opens up the playing field of what exactly was going through the minds of the 11. It gives a whole flavor. We have to understand, there are skeletons in the closet. There are skeletons in the closet which are a very big issue, and the only way to avoid this, to achieve his legacy, that he was legitimate, he must be a ben melech, not to take into consideration his mother. Okay, that's one. Another very interesting idea is the Eladim. There's one ma'ila through all of these terrible things that we're learning about, these horrible chatoim and what's happening here. There is one little piece of silver lining, is that when Rechavam responded to the people, he did not respond with the expression, "My pinky is thicker than my father's waist." My father's loins. That much he had seichel, Rechavam, not to be mezalzel in the honor of his father. The Eladim said, "Say to them, Kotani, my pinky is thicker than my father's waist." That he, when we look at his response, when he says to them, "I'm going to add." But he did not say that expression that was mentioned above, my pasuk yud, kotani ava mimosne avi. That much he recognized would be disrespectful to his father. That was too much. So at least there was some restraint. It wasn't just, totally listening to the Eladim. He was above them to some degree. By the way, what's the simple shot and what was their kavana avi? How did the Eladim have a chutzpah to talk like that? So the Mefarshim explains is because Rechavam was 41 years old when he became Melech, and Shlomo was 12 years old. So he felt that I come to the Malchus, to the throne, with life experience, whereas my father wasn't in Bar Mitzvah yet. He was only 12 years old, even though he had a child.
He grew up in the
palace
the whole time.
So he's saying, I already learned the ropes. I have a lot of experience. I lived here. I'm 41 years old. I have what to offer. My father was only 12 years old. He didn't know much, even though Rechavam was reborn. We learned Rechavam was 1 year old when Shlomo became Melech. He was 41 years old now. He sat on the lap of David, his grandfather. David's last year in Malchus, David's 40th year, was one year when Shlomo was 11 years old. And that year, Shlomo had a baby. 11 years old, he had a baby. And his name was Rechavam. And Rechavam was on the lap of David, the Zayda, David. David was Mustam of the Sadik. And he was the animator Shalom Zachar. And he said Torah, he said Chidushin, and a bris. And can you imagine that bris coming to the palace? Three kings in one time? David, Shlomo, and Rechavam? Could you imagine being invited to that bris to see such a sight? They talk about the time, can you imagine the time when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were alive at the same time? Could you imagine living in such, how many years do they overlap? I don't know the calculation.
15 years?
Yeah,
that's how old they were when Avraham
was there. So it was 15 years old. So can you imagine if there's any time in history you would want to live? You have a time machine. Take you back to any kufa in the world. When would you want to go back? It's an interesting question. He asks this to a child. When would you want to live? Based upon what you've learned in yeshiva, when would you want to live? L'cha'ora, the best time to live in this world was those 15 years when all three were alive. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. 15. Can you imagine what it's like to live in such a generation? Those 15 years. You don't sleep those 15 years. You live in it, all three are together alive at the same time. Amazing. What? No, we had many wives. Shlomo Melech. Shlomo, Rechavam? Was no. Yeah, exactly. Honestly.
So, by David and Shlomo, it says over there we learned it very young.
Yeah.
David got up, made a speech, that I have many sons, and Hashem, by Yim Shlomo.
Shlomo had 18 wives. David himself had 18 wives.
No, but he got up, made a speech. We learned why didn't Shlomo? That when David got up, he had to convince the people, he said, Hashem,
appointed Shlomo, Vayimloch Shlomo. So he said, I have many sons, but this is the one. So how did it come that Rechavim was chosen?
It's not clear. It appears that Shlomo designated him as his successor. It does appear to be that appears to be the case. It appears that Shlomo designated Rechavim to be his successor. He felt that this was the most appropriate.
It could have been his oldest son too.
How could be. I don't know. It could be.
He was 10 years old.
It could be also. Yeah, it could be.
He didn't have a lot of wives then.
Okay, so this is.
Shlomo wasn't the oldest son.
I know that Rechavim was born when Shlomo was 10 years old.
I know that Shlomo was not the oldest
son. So he didn't have 100 wives. He wasn't the king yet. He had 2 years to be the king.
Okay, there's one other thing. There are none more, but there's one other important idea about what was going on between the Eladim and the Zikanim. In Parashas Vayel, this very interesting Rashi also opens up the whole. It's a very little story, but there's so many yesodos in this little story in Parashas Vayelech, where Moshe Rabbeinu gives over leadership to Yoshua. Okay, let me see if I could find it. Kiyodati. Let me see if I can find it. Parshas Vayelech. Here we go. Okay, but let me read you what it says here in this Rashi. The Yeladim, according to what I've seen, the Yeladim, they were thinking about this Rashi when they were giving advice to Shlomo HaMelech, to Rechavim. Pasuk says, Moshe speaking to Yoshua, Chizku v'yimtzu al tiru v'yalta arzu mibnehem. Don't be afraid of the people. Okay, again, Moshe speaking to Yoshua. Be strong. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Mibnehem ki Hashem Elokecha hu ha'olech imach v'lo yarbecha v'lo yazeka. He will not weaken you and he will not abandon you. Rashi, next pasuk. Vayikra Moshe li Yoshua vayomer lev l'neichol Yisrael chazak v'yemotz. Yoshua, be strong. Ki atah. You, Yehoshua, Kavoy Esomaze, Eloritz Asher Nishba Hashem Lavisam, Losislehem, Viato, and you, Tanchileno Isam, Rashi, Kiato, Tavi Esomaze, Kitagumo, Are At Teol Am Im Amo Hodein. Moshe Omar Lihoshua. Moshe said to Yehoshua, Zikanim Shebedor Yiyu Imcha. So Moshe says that the Zikanim don't do anything on your own. Moshe was giving advice to Yoshua, don't take any don't do anything on your own. First, always take advice from the Zikanim. Hakoil lefi daton ve'atzason. Everything that you do in your malchus, Yoshua, should only be in consultation and with the advice of the Zikanim Shebedar. That's how he learns. Vayikra Moshe liYeshua, Vayimlo leine kol Yisrael, in the presence of kol Yisrael, chazak v'emotz. So seemingly the fact that he said leine kol Yisrael, it appears Rashi is learning that what you should do should be always dependent upon what the people want. Aval, Rashi goes further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar LiYoshua, but Hashem, when Hashem later speaks to Yoshua, Hashem says to him, Ki Ata Tavi Es Bnei Yisrael El Aretz, Asher Nishpati, this later on in Pasuk of Gimel, Tavi Al Karcham, HaKoil Toluy Boch, Tol Makel, take a stick, V'Hach Al Kod Kodon, and bang the stick on their heads, on their skulls. Daber echod lador, v'yein shnei daborim lador. There's only one leader for the generation, there are no two leaders for the generation. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? On the one hand, Moshe says to Yoshua, you make sure you do what the Zakenim tell you to do. On the other hand, Hashem says, no. You don't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. You do it on your own. According to the Eladim, who have no experience in life, they learned Pshat and Rashi that Moshe was wrong. Moshe was wrong, and you have to be a strong leader. And that's why they took what I call Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishaimim. Who do you listen to? The Rav of the Talmud. You listen to the Rav. Hashem says, go take a stick, bang it on their heads. When you become a new leader, Yeshua took over the leadership. And what was Hashem's instructions to Yeshua when Yeshua became a new leader? Be tough. Speak with Gaiva. Beat them on their heads. So L'chaira, the Yeladim had a precedent. They had very strong support that their Anhaga should be tough. On the other hand, so why were they wrong? So the answer is because Moshe wasn't wrong. It's a process. And first to explain is when you start off on your first day in the job, then you bring in, you consult, until you're comfortable and you learn the ropes, you learn your Hanhaga, you begin with Moshe's approach. What Hashem was telling Yeshua is that what Moshe told you was only good for the first couple of years. After you gain the trust of the people and you understand what the job entails, then take out a stick and beat them up. And Dabrech al Adar v'lo v'lo shnei. This was the mistake of the Aladdin.
They did it on purpose because they knew that if they listened to Moshe, he would say Zakenim, they were Yeladim.
So all right,
you see this because later they were named Eliyahu. We know who they were. They really
okay. So this is it's a very interesting Rashi, which definitely sheds light on the mindset, the approach of the Yeladim and the Zakenim. They're both true. Moshe was right in the beginning, but then there has to be a transition into strong leadership. And that was the mistake of the Lord. They thought the strong leadership has to begin right away, and Hashem was correcting an error of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Which verse is that?
This, I saw this in the Mishpitzai Zohof. There's a sefer, a very thick sefer called Mishpitzai Zohof, which basically is Malachite. It's an amazing sefer. Everything there is to say on these psukim, that was ever been. However, it's on Sefer Melachim. It's not on Sefer Divrei Hayamim. He didn't yet put out on Sefer Divrei Hayamim. So I'm trying to cross-reference what we have in Sefer Divrei Hayamim with Sefer Melachim, and many of the ideas come from there. Other very good svarim also is Rav David Cohen Sefer, of Oil David. So you have to look both Melachim, you have to look at Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The art scroll also has very nice things you don't see anywhere else in the art scroll Divrei Hayamim. And you look at the Mikros Gedolos, the base Malbim, the Ralbag, the Radak. You have to also here you go back to Melachim. It's also a lot of the Sfarshim in Melachim cross reference the differences between Melachim and Divrei Hayam. Okay, so we will stop here.